Welcome to the Social University Podcast. We are so glad you're joining us today because we want to help business owners, entrepreneurs, and people just like you who want to build their business online. Listen, if we can do it, you can do it. So let's go.
All this month, we've been talking about emails. What's the big deal with email marketing? Why it's imperative for your small business? It is imperative for your small business. As you guys realize, if Facebook goes down tomorrow, do you have a way to contact your followers? If you don't have their emails, you definitely do not. So today we're going to talk about how to get your emails opened. It is an art form to write a good subject line. There are many different things related to having a good email and getting it opened, and that's what we're going to jump in and discuss today. Okay, first things first. What's the norm open rate? What's the normal open rate? Average open rate in any industry is somewhere between 15 and 25%. 20% is pretty normal. It's actually pretty good. We have a client that has 40% on the regular. It just depends. It depends on your how qualified your email list is and how consistently you're actually sending those emails, because that matters too. We do get the biggest thing I hear from our client base pushback wise is, I don't want to overwhelm my audience. I think once a month is plenty. Once a month is not plenty. It's not. You want to touch base with your clients no less than twice a month. Four times a month would be great. Now, that's a big ask for a lot of folks, especially if you're a small business owner and you're doing all this by yourself. Of course, we can help you with that. But one of the easiest ways to set it up is to have a template where you have to swap out specific pieces and you're not constantly reinventing the wheel. That's just the easiest way to do it. So how do you get that open rate? Well, let's look at it. First and foremost, you have to have an email provider. There are several different versions of new. You know, there's a ton of different options. For beginners, three of the best email platforms for beginners, and I touched on this last week. One is MailChimp. It's very user-friendly. It's great for growing your list. It's got scalable pricing. You know, the first 500 are free, and your first 1,000, it covers your first 1,000 emails, which means if you have a list of 500, you can send an email out twice a month. Sender is the next one. It's got a very generous subscriber and send limits. It's only $47 a month, but you get up to 10,000 subscribers and you can send out 120,000 emails, which is massive. It's massive. And Loops is the third one. It's great for automation if you want to set up, and you really do need to automate some of it. Like if they sign up for your email, they automatically get the download and then they get the thank you email. Really and truly automate. It's free for up to Loops. It's free. And that's spelled like Fruit Loops, L-O-O-P-S. It's free for up to 1,000 contacts and 2,000 email sends per month. It's got a lot of really good pre-built automated pieces. So if you're wanting to automate more, that's a good way to go. So once you have your, once you decide on your provider, the next thing you want to do is clean your list. Now there are email verification tools. We have a recommendation that's the most user-friendly for beginners, and totally just jumped right out of my head, but we will definitely have a link to it in our notes for this and on our blog. So if you want to go ahead and take a look at it. And what do I mean when I say clean your email list? People change emails, they close emails, they have bad email addresses. And you know, there are folks out there that have had the same email for the last 20 years. If it's Yahoo or AOL, we just go ahead and remove it from the list because it's going to get tagged for spam. They have the worst spam filters. They're the most likely to tell you as a platform. Yahoo and AOL are the most likely to get tagged for spam. And I don't want to get dinged because two people have the same email they've had for the last 30 years. Unless they double opt in, I'm taking them off. It's just easier that way. And what do I mean by double opt-in? Well, one of the best ways to grow your list is with double opt-in. Double opt-ins are like single opt-ins. It's basically when you give your permission for people to send you email. Now, can I go on LinkedIn and export the entire list of emails for all of my contacts? Yeah, but that's not super ethical, is it? It's really not. So unless you have permission, and I know you've been in that situation, you've been at a networking, you've attended a function or a webinar, and people will start sending you their email list and you didn't sign up for it. It can be irritating. It can be downright frustrating. So opt-ins prevent that. It's where you're asking your contact if it's okay to send information. So opt-in has one step, double opt-in has two steps. After the contact has submitted the form, they're sent an email, and then they have to open and click the link to secure the signup. That's a double opt-in. A single opt-in would be, hey, give us your email and get this cool free download. Very simple. I do single opt-in on our pop-up. So I think it's easier. People have so much going on. The easier it is for them, the more likely they are to do it. Just my two cents. You also want to be able to, again, and this, all of this, we talked about growing your email list last week. We're talking about getting opened this week, how to stop vanishing in inboxes and get those emails open. So another good idea is sending it at the right time. If you're sending your emails Sunday at 8 a.m., they are not getting opened. They're just not. So the best time is Tuesday followed by Wednesday and Thursday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, your best day of the days of the week. And the best time across all industries is 10 a.m. Now you have to test that and see what works for you, because that is just an overview. All of the different experts, all of the different email platforms, they disagree on the best time. Some say 2, some say 1. We have our best success between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., regardless of industry. And we test that across, across multiple clients to make sure we're doing what works best for them. But send it at a good time. Don't send them out on, seriously, emails on Saturday are just not getting seen. They're not. Okay, sender name. 42% of subscribers will decide whether or not to open based on who it's from. So about 34% decide based on the actual subject line, which is, both of those numbers are huge. And it's different for businesses, but most common practice is to use either your name or your business name. Ours say they're from Social You, because I feel like it's slightly misleading if it has my name on it, because they're from the company. And you should know that's the email. We send out our emails once a week. They go Thursday afternoons. That's the time that works for us. We send out a blog link. We send out a video, because we have so much free stuff on YouTube and so much free stuff in our blog. And then I always include a tip of the week. And periodically, I'll include what we're promoting at that specific moment in time. I don't like to do a lot of promotion, because I feel like you should give more than you get. So we do a lot of giving. So make sure your emails are not from MailChimp. Make sure they're from something specific like your company or your name. Okay, the next thing is subject lines. And really and truly, subject lines is a whole art form to itself. You have so many people who cannot write a subject line. So just some points that you want to kind of keep in mind. Keep it short. No more than 70 characters. I will tell you that 60 on desktop, it's about 60 on a phone. On mobile, it goes down to 30. So 40 to 50 characters seems to be the sweet spot, but no more than 70 for sure. You want to make sure that you include keywords that are relevant to the subject. So if I am promoting a Botox party, the word Botox better be in that subject line, because people need to know what it's about. If I am talking about LinkedIn at a presentation, LinkedIn needs to be in the subject line so that people understand what the email is about. Make sure you use wording that your subscribers are likely to look for. You want to be clear and concise. Get to the point. Again, you don't have a whole lot of wiggle room when you're looking at 70 characters. It's smaller than you think it is. So you want to tell your folks what your email's about and get to the point quickly. Personalization, a name if you can. So if you're going to personalize, it may be something simple like, hey, Laura, are you interested in Laura? Botox is for you, or Laura, Botox on sale. Again, if people respond to personalization. Urgency, any kind of wording that's last chance, limited time offer, last sale day, while supplies last, that kind of stuff, it encourages people to act, especially to open. It's okay to be creative too. I like humor, puns, unexpected elements to grab my attention. I will 100% open emails that are funny. That's my personality. I like that kind of stuff. Again, you have to work with what works for your client. Curiosity, you want to know what's on sale this week. Uh-huh. I do. That works on me every time. Find out the discount this week. Okay. Click. It's open. It's 100% going to open that thing. And emojis. Emojis increase your open rate about 25%. So nobody is too good for the emoji. Feel free to integrate that into your email so that people can see it and open. Okay. We already talked about character count. The next thing we're going to talk about is personalizing your subject lines. Again, I touched on that briefly already. A personalized subject line can instantly boost your rates by as much as 50%. So if you have a clear, concise subject line that's personalized with a keyword rich, time sensitive offer, you're way more likely to get opened for sure. You also want to segment your list. This involves dividing your list into smaller targeted groups, segments, based on their shared characteristics. The most common are purchase history. Like if you have an online cookbook versus a real cookbook that you have in your hand, those are two very different audiences and they don't cross over a lot. Your audience that wants the download is not likely to have the paper book. So you might want to segregate those audiences so you can optimize that. You want to sometimes another reason to segment those lists the last time they purchased, demographics like age or male, female, or where they live, locations, especially is relevant if you have a brick and mortar business. If you have something that's going to only be at your Hoover location, tell your Hoover audience. And then another one is the time since they last opened. So if you have a very up-to-date list, that might be a different list than people who only open sporadically. Okay. Something that people really tend to forget is resending to non-openers. When you resend it with a different subject line, you are much more likely to get engagement the second time around. That sounds a little crazy, but it's true. So if you have a portion of your audience that's consistently not opening, send them a separate email. And then if they continue to not open, ditch them. It's better for your stats. You don't want to annoy them. If they're not opening, they don't want it from you. You might send them a farewell. We call it the breakup email. Looks like we're not a good fit for you. If you want to continue to receive these, click here. That's a double opt-in. That way, you know, they want to continue to see the emails, but if they don't want to see them, don't make them see them. You also, and this goes without saying, you got to deliver great content. If your content's not good, no amount of polishing that subject line is going to consistently get people to open your information. The content itself has to be good stuff. You want to make sure it's optimized for mobile. If people can't, and a huge portion of people open these on their phone, if they can't see it on their phone, you're getting in your own way. Avoid spam triggers. Okay, what's a spam trigger? First and foremost, one of the easiest ways to avoid spam trigger, do not purchase or rent a list. I get this question a lot. What would it look like for us to rent a list? It would look bad. That's what it would look like. These are not qualified people who are interested in what you have to say. So unless your email is to a very niche audience, like for example, let's say you sell softball equipment and you have a list of softball coaches and softball parents from a magazine, softball magazine. Could you send them an email? Sure. But if you don't have something to offer, if you're just sending them an email to send it, don't waste your time. The open rate on a purchase or rented list is less than 3%. So the stats are terrible. And a lot of times those lists, they're rented. You can't keep those emails. It's not like you're buying them. You're not spending, and they're so expensive. You might spend $10,000 and you get to use it one time. That's not worth it to me at all. So if you're going to do that, if it's a super qualified list and it totally makes sense for your audience, offer them something they cannot resist so that you can get them to click through that email and become your email subscriber. Because until they're on your list, it's really not worth anything to you. I've been doing this a long time and I cannot tell you how many instances we've had where business owners are like, yeah, we rented this list from a magazine. Don't do that. They'll get tagged for spam because people will reject it. It's not a good fit. There's no click-throughs. So what did we sell? Nothing. You sold nothing. And that's something else. You don't want to sell on the first email. They don't know you. They don't know your product. It'd be like getting married on the first date. You have to have that know, like, trust factor before they're comfortable enough to give you their money. So that being said, when you rent these lists and you ask for the sale immediately, would you do it? Would you purchase something straight out of the gate? Because I know I would not. If you're going to do that and you're insistent on doing that, whatever you're going to send, that offer better be really good, because they won't click through otherwise. Just my two cents. Another way to wind up in spam folder is using triggers like the word clearance or discount or buy. A trick from years ago was RE, because people thought if it looked like they were responding to an email you sent, you'd be more likely to open it. Tricky. That's tricky. It's also just a giant lie. Why would you do that? Don't do that. So avoid those spam triggers so your email can stay out of spam and stay in the main body of your recipient. And I would say as the last thing, don't make it hard to unsubscribe. People think they're doing something when they make it difficult for their followers to unsubscribe. Don't do that. If they don't want to see your information, you don't want them. You're not going to be a perfect fit for everybody, and that's okay. Focus on the people who want your content, who want to learn more, who want your information. That's who you focus on. So that being said, that is it for us today. Next week, we are going to talk about level up your email game. We're going to talk about templates and metrics and a little bit more complicated stuff next week. But yeah, let's see what we can do about getting those emails opened. Until next week, I'm Karen Tarotas with Social U, and I'm here to help. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for the Social University podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Stay Social U. That's the letter U. And we will talk to you next week. Remember, you've got this.